This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Dr. Kate Room, and she is educating us on safe and healthy ways to use intermittent fasting in our lives. So welcome back, Kate. One of the things that I would like to try and understand is during this, if we get to 16 hours off food and 8 hours with food, how should we pace ourselves during that 8 hours, or does it matter?
That's a great question. I think some of the myths around intermittent fasting is that, you can eat during that time, you can eat whatever you want. Now, you can certainly eat as much as you want. Don't feel like during the 8 hour period that you're eating, let's say, if that's the schedule you're using, that you need to restrict yourself in terms of caloric intake during that time. Absolutely not. We're talking about fasting then feasting, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But what you eat during that time becomes more important, in fact, because you're eating typically less. If you're eating for less, less amount of hours, you're taking in less calories. And so eating more nutritious food and getting in more nutrients, more nutrient-dense food, is important for your overall health. And so not just, eating necessarily anything but healthy food,
mm-hmm.
as well as certain foods and what you choose to eat during that time can actually make your fasting hours more successful, or rather easier to tolerate. So, for example, if you're eating a lot of high glycemic index foods, carbs, donuts, things that make your blood sugar up and down, lots of pasta, for example, you'll find it harder during the fasting time because your blood sugar will fluctuate more and you will feel hungrier. Whereas if you focus during that eating period on protein, fat, and fiber, you will have more stable blood sugar, you'll feel fuller and more satisfied longer, and you'll typically be able to sail through the fasting state without really being hungrier or having cravings.
Would it be better to have the big meal as soon as you're breaking that fast, say 11 in the morning, or would it be better to have that bigger meal at 6 at night? How would it make it easier for our bodies to adjust to 16 hours off food?
So considering you are going, it's not critical. In other words, if you're really hungry whenever you start eating, then go by your appetite. Have a big meal then. Or if you find you're not very hungry and you want to start with something lighter, break your fast with just some broth and then eat something heavier later, that's absolutely fine. Typically, because you only have such a small window, it's, eat as much as you feel like you want to, regardless if it's you're breaking your fast or if it's your supper meal.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned anti-aging as part of this benefits of doing this. Would it matter so much about what we're eating? Should we put higher antioxidants in, or is it just the process of resting?
Well, the process of resting is important in and of itself, and it will upregulate some of the body's natural antioxidant mechanisms, and so that is part of the anti-aging process, it's thought, as well as, simply caloric restriction. We've seen that this can have an essentially anti-aging effect in animals and human studies. However, like we were saying, it's important to make sure that what you're eating when you're eating is as nutritious as possible. And so absolutely, colorful fruits and vegetables, that signals that there's antioxidants in there. And I think it's really important to be taking, at very least, a multivitamin and mineral supplement, because if you have less hours in the day to eat, it's simply more challenging to get in as many nutrients as you might need. And so that is a really important addition to your diet.
Mm-hmm. And along with that multivite, would it be a good idea to be using a probiotic?
Absolutely. I mean, a probiotic is always a good idea, whether you're fasting or not. We're heading into the fall. Probiotics taken on a daily basis have been shown to reduce the number of days sick due to colds and flu, for example. There's so much benefit to that. Eating fermented foods is important, but it doesn't take the place of the kind of good bacteria that you'd get in through a probiotic supplement. So, you know, fasting or not, a daily probiotic is a great foundation of good health.
Mm-hmm. And the high fiber foods are going to be the prebiotic that those are nourished by?
Exactly. So high fiber foods, that is, you know, fiber, we don't break it down or digest it, but it is food for the healthy bacteria in our intestines. That's really all the benefits we get from fiber is because of them and what they do. And so high fiber foods is important. Again, if you're, because you're eating during a smaller window of time, if you feel like you're not getting enough fiber in your diet, then a fiber supplement can be very helpful to help boost or bump up your fiber intake.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are choosing to go into that actual 24-hour fast where you're not actually chewing on any food, does that create any problems with peristaltic action and actually moving out and having bowel movements every day? Is that a concern?
Not usually. You can still take probiotics, which will help typically in that department, and the food and the fiber that you're eating when you are eating should help with that. Again, if you have a history of any bowel concerns, regularity issues, or you see that being exacerbated, that's another good reason to work with a practitioner if you're fasting.
Right. Yeah.
One thing I meant to mention before as well, people with a history of eating disorders need to be very, very cautious in terms of intermittent fasting to work with a professional.
Very good point. And the bone broth is fine to nourish yourself, especially when you're learning to go this 12 or 16 hours, if that's a problem at the beginning?
Yes, it is. Like I said, it does contain some amino acids, but typically not enough in there to change this fasted state, and you can still get the benefits of being in that fasted state while hydrating yourself with the bone broth, which is providing a little bit of nourishment, but mostly it's, you know, the electrolytes from the salt that you'll get in there, and it's quite satisfying. It can be warming. You know, in the wintertime, especially if you're starting to feel chilled when you're not eating, it's a nice way to warm up.
Any other ideas on amounts of protein getting in to keep you strong, different complex carbohydrates to sustain you? What are some foods that are more beneficial?
Mm-hmm. Focusing on protein intake with each meal is important in general. But again, becomes more important when you're eating less. And so that is an easy thing typically to work into your meals when you're at home, whatever your favorite protein is, whether it's eggs or Greek yogurt or meats or a protein supplement, again, can come in very handy, especially when you're on the go, or if you just want to make sure that first meal of the day that you're getting a good amount of protein in. That can be a whey-based protein or a veggie-based protein, depending on what your diet is or your preferences are. So I really like the addition of a protein supplement. And healthy fats, like an essential fatty acid, like a good quality fish oil.
Excellent, yeah. And you can actually throw this all in a blender and have a really easy meal.
Yes, I mean, smoothies are a great way to pack a lot of nutrition in to begin with, and they do just the same thing during a fasting protocol.
Mm-hmm. Would we need an increase in protein doing food this way, or would we? What would be average for adult male and female?
Well, that depends on body size,
structure,
like mass, because
okay,
you calculate it, how many grams you need depending on your body weight, mm-hmm, as well as your level of activity. And so you want about roughly 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight per day. You can do the math on that. And so that means that, again, I find that protein supplements are a way to bridge the gap to try to get that protein in. I quite like those, and I don't necessarily use them every day, but they do come in handy.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a formula for hydration, or just keep that water bottle going?
The water bottle, but again with that pinch of salt. That is, you know, the electrolytes in there. You don't need to spend money necessarily on a fancy electrolyte formulas, and you have certainly have to watch out for the ones that are higher in sugar.
Yeah.
But I personally, I will do salt with a squeeze of lemon, a little bit of honey, and water with a pinch of salt, squeeze of lemon, and a little bit of honey. It's tasty, which has encouraged me to drink it. Between the lemon and the salt and the honey, to be honest, you've got electrolytes in there.
Now, is the honey enough to break the fast?
You have to keep that really low. That's a good question. And if you're concerned about that, you can leave the honey out.
Oh, so many good ways to start this. Do you have anything online or any ways people can follow up with this if they want to get on to this rhythmic eating or intermittent fasting and need an extra hand?
Well, people can reach me at www.drkatend.com if they have specific questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have postings per se on my website about intermittent fasting. There are lots of guides out there, but like I said, I do prefer that. I really do encourage people to work with, for example, their naturopathic doctor or professional to get good information about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for all the information you brought forward today on this timely topic. And I wish you well in your practice and your educating until we speak again.
Thanks, Kathy. Take care.
Okay. We'd also like to thank our producer, Alan Wishart. And we'd like to thank all the community stations across Canada that carry our program. Have a healthy and happy day.